Welcome to the North Village Church podcast. We are an Acts 29 church serving Austin, Texas by placing Jesus at the center of our lives so that it moves us to serve every man, woman, and child to experience the life-transforming power of Jesus Christ. For more information, visit northvillagechurch.com.
And look at Luke chapter 24. Verses 36 to 39, we have the words for you on the screen. I'll read, you follow along. Luke 24, verse 36 says, "While they were telling these things, he himself stood in their midst." That's Jesus. "And he said to them, 'Peace be to you.' But they were startled and frightened and thought that they were seeing a spirit. And he said to them, 'Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have.'" So for the past 2 months, we've been studying through the gospel of Luke, looking at the life of Jesus. And we've seen Jesus enter into Jerusalem. We've seen him put to death on a cross. He's resurrecting from the dead, and he's standing before the disciples. And in verse 38, he says, "Why are you troubled?" What's up with that? I mean, Jesus is literally picking a fight with the disciples. Look at verse 37. The disciples are startled and frightened. And in verse 38, Jesus says, "What's the big deal? Why do you have doubts?" Maybe because you were dead, Jesus? Imagine what this must have been like for the disciples. They just watched him put to death on a cross. In verse 39, Jesus responds, "Well, see my hands, my feet. Touch me, see me." Those words are all so important. Those words are Jesus pointing the disciples to verifiable evidence of his bodily resurrection. Write that in your notes this morning. Jesus is pointing the disciples and us this morning to verifiable evidence of his bodily resurrection. Sometimes in our culture today, we will say things like, "Well, I guess back then, 2,000 years ago, they were kind of primitive. You know, they didn't really have, you know, schools or whatever. So I guess everybody would believe in a resurrection." And no, it wasn't common at all. It's not, think about it. How many people do you know who have resurrected from the dead? It's not common today. It wasn't common then. And so in verse 39, Jesus is pointing the disciples to verifiable evidence. "See the wounds of my hands, touch the wounds of my feet." Jesus was dead, but now Jesus is physically alive. Amen? Amen? He's alive. Look at verses 40 to 43. "And when Jesus had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet, while they still could not believe it because of their joy and amazement. He said to them, 'Have you anything here to eat?' They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and he ate it before them." In verse 40, Jesus asks, "Do you have anything to eat?" I don't know about you, but I think that's almost kind of odd. Right? I mean, just imagine what they must be going through, and Jesus is talking about a Happy Meal. The transition is odd. I mean, in the context of Luke 24, you have these cinematic moments that are unfolding. Jesus has been betrayed. We talked about this last Sunday by Judas and Peter. He's arrested. More betrayal, trials, riots, more trials, blood, death, resurrection. And then the camera pans to Jesus eating a filet-o-fish. It's just it's odd. Is it odd? It's anticlimactic. Can you imagine Rosa Parks or Nelson Mandela or Bill Gates leading this movement of people through these ups and downs of these heroic events? It's brah, 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 brah. And then you see them eat a fish taco. You never see that in the movies. It's just kind of odd. But in verse 41, Jesus is eating a fish sandwich because Jesus is pointing the disciples to verifiable evidence of his bodily resurrection. Listen to me. The resurrected Jesus is not an angel. It's not a mirage. It's not even like kind of sparkling some glory into it to kind of flare it up a little bit. It's just very normal. And it's because the author, Gospel of Luke, the author is giving us verifiable evidence of Jesus' bodily resurrection. Write that down in your notes. He says, see my hands, look at my feet, give me something good to eat, right? He's just like, look, these are all verifiable evidence. And remember, Luke is a doctor. Luke is an educated individual. And so he's pointing us, he's pointing the reader to characteristics of a scientific method with empirical evidence of look, see, and touch. Those are all verifiable characteristics of Jesus' bodily resurrection. It's because Jesus is alive. Amen. Listen to me this morning. Like I am not going to be able to present something this morning that addresses the resurrection of Jesus so that all doubts are removed. But you also need to know that the resurrection of Jesus is never presented as a fantastical story spun into a legend. No, there's verifiable evidence. Jesus is pointing the disciples. He's pointing the crowds of people, which 1 Corinthians 15 tells us he ends up pointing to over 500 men and women over a 40-day period. Verifiable evidence. See, touch, feel. Jesus is alive. Look at verse 44. Now he said to them, Jesus, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Look, we highlighted some words for you because we want you to engage God's word. That's where our authority comes from. It's not from me. It's from God's word. And in verse 44, Jesus is pointing us. He's pointing the disciples to the written word. The phrases law of Moses, prophets, and Psalms are all references to the Old Testament. We don't have time to get into it this morning, but there are promises over and over of a Savior that is coming, and it's all fulfilled in Jesus. So that in verse 44, Jesus is pointing the disciples and us this morning, again, to verifiable evidence of his bodily resurrection. Jesus is saying, look at what has been written. Why are you startled? Why are you frightened? Why are you troubled? Look at what has been written. This isn't something we dreamed up one night after we ate pizza really late. Look at what has been written. There's verifiable evidence. Sometimes in our culture today, Jesus is presented as this afterthought, right? You know, kind of like the Old Testament didn't work out so well. People lost interest in this kind of Moses and Abraham's story. What do we do now? How about like a guy that's really loving and teaches cool things? We'll call him Jesus. Like, that's not how it unfolded at all. The promise of a Savior has been coming from Genesis chapter 3. Over and over and over. Fulfilled in Jesus. That's what Jesus is doing in verse 44. Law of Moses, prophets, and Psalms. Verifiable evidence. It's not going to remove all doubt. But there is verifiable evidence. That's the context of what's unfolding. Why are you troubled? Look at the evidence. Look at verses 45 to 49. You with me? Y'all are just thinking about the barbecue, aren't you? Come on now. Verse 45. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And Jesus said to them, thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day. And that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I'm sending forth the promise of my Father upon you. But you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. That phrase, you are witnesses of these things, is such a powerful phrase for us this morning. It's highlighted, underline it, write it in your own words. Jesus is speaking to the disciples. He says, you are witnesses of these things. Everything we've just been talking about, you've witnessed it. You need to know this morning, the reason we are in a cafeteria in Austin, Texas in 2019 is because men, women, and children examined the evidence of seeing, hearing, and touching. And then in verse 49, Jesus looks at them and says, now go and tell others what you have seen. I mean, you read the New Testament, almost every epistle starts off like what we have seen, what we have heard, what we have touched. We didn't make this up. We didn't dream it up. It's not a scam. It's simply what we saw, what we heard, what we touched, and we've told people. And 2,000 years later, in Austin, Texas, we're still talking about it today. I mean, keep in mind the context. Right? I mean, on Friday, Jesus is put to death. They scatter. The closest people to him betray him. It's all over, gone. Saturday, they're like looking in the one ads, like, what else can we do with our life? We got to start all over. And then Sunday happens. Jesus resurrects. He says, now go and tell others. And here we are. Amen. Come on. Thank you. Yes. That's evidence. Do you understand? It's not just kind of get swept up in the emotion. They're like, look at the evidence. Look at what was written. Look at the witnesses. Look at the testimonials. Look at the transformation. Look at that it's still being talked about today. If Jesus was a farce, like if this all made up, if somebody was really creative, like in the first century, Tolkien's like, and then what's going to happen in Jesus? Like, if it would have died out in a generation. We have evidence of that. Look what happened to David Koresh in Waco. Flash of influence. He dies. Nobody's talking about him. Jim Jones in the 70s. Flash of influence. He dies. Nobody's talking about him. 2,000 years ago, Jesus resurrects. He points him to the evidence. He says, now go and tell others. And we're sitting in the cafeteria. How is that possible? I mean, look, I mean, if you are not walking with Jesus this morning, if this has just been something that's at a distance, you have to weigh the evidence. You can't just dismiss. Billions of people right now around the world are talking about him. How is that possible? You know why I think people are still talking about the bodily resurrection of Jesus today? It's because the bodily resurrection of Jesus changes everything. Like in that moment, the disciples see, touch, and hear Jesus resurrect from the dead, and something clicks. Something clicks for those disciples. And I think in that moment, they start to think to themselves, if Jesus can resurrect from the dead, the whole world can resurrect from the dead. Sit in that for a minute. Think about that. They just saw Jesus put to death on a cross, buried 3 days, resurrect from the dead, and they started thinking to themselves, oh my gosh, if Jesus can conquer death, the whole world can conquer death. Like something clicked, the penny dropped, bam. In that moment, everything changed. If Jesus can overcome death, the whole world can overcome death. Write that in your notes. That is the power of the resurrection. If Jesus can overcome death, like the whole world can overcome death. If Jesus can overcome death, then why in the world would we would we give time and energy to accomplishments and accolades from one another? Like, doesn't that just kind of put everything in perspective? You remember the disciples were just arguing just a few days ago about which one of them was the greatest. You remember that? Who do you think? You think it's me? It could be you. I don't know. I'm doing some pretty cool things. They're arguing. Who is it? Who's going to be second in command? Just a couple of days ago, they are falling asleep in sorrow. Like, their world is ending. And then they observe the evidence of Jesus overcoming death. And it clicks. If Jesus can overcome death, the whole world can overcome death. So why in the world would we care about titles and awards and recognition? Does that make sense? I know that's abstract, so stay with me. Why in the world would we care about the recognition from others? It must seem so small now. If Jesus can overcome death, the whole world can overcome death. Because in Jesus, they're going to live forever. That's what's clicking. In Jesus, they're not going to be around for just 100 years or 1,000 years or a really long time. They're going to be around for eternity. And it put everything in perspective. It puts everything in perspective. Why would we flinch at someone's title because they work at Apple and it's a cool company? It changes everything. Oh, how much energy and emotion we've invested in the accolades and recognition of others. And now, if Jesus can conquer death, the world can conquer death. It changes everything. Doesn't it seem so small when it's in that perspective? I mean, why are we losing sleep about what Judy said about us on the playground? If Jesus can conquer death, the whole world can conquer death. Think about that. The amount of energy we invest. It's flipping the script, his resurrection. Sometimes the local church will talk about heaven. Look, in Jesus, there is heaven. It is real, and it is a wonderful place. But sometimes the local church will talk about heaven so much, it always comes across in the future tense. Sometimes heaven is always presented like one day things are going to be really good in heaven. And that is true. But what's clicking for the disciples is that Jesus is alive and heaven is now. Heaven is now. You don't have to wait. It just changed everything. In that moment, it drops. If Jesus can overcome death, the whole world can overcome death. I mean, think about how much our soul is dominated by the pursuit of romantic relationships. Come on. I mean, how many movies are about finding that special someone? And we eat it up. Lifetime Channel, Hallmark Channel. Oh, it's so good. You see the electricity? Like, oh, just the hope. You completed my sentences? Oh, my gosh. We were so infatuated with the idea of a romantic relationship. Listen, we're so hook, line, and sinker on romantic relationships, we will oftentimes settle for abusive relationships, just so that we can be in a relationship, right? Sometimes we'll settle for physically, verbally abusive relationships just so we can say we have it. And what's taking place right here with the disciples is they're confronted with Jesus overcoming death, and everything becomes crystal clear. Listen, don't misunderstand. You know, get a job, have some kids, go on a date, whatever. That's just not the point. That's right, Alex. That's not the point. Jesus' resurrection from the dead flips the whole script. Why would we think about life being from the perspective of 90 years? Death is gone. Death is gone. Jesus is alive. Disease is removed. Condemnation is gone. Shame is gone. Guilt, gone. Jesus is alive. The tomb is empty. If Jesus is eternal, the whole world can become eternal. Everything gets so simple. Jesus overcomes death. Jesus' kingdom on earth begins. It's not just in heaven one day. It begins right then. It's heaven on earth. That's how you're invited to live in Jesus Christ. You're not waiting for heaven. You're invited in Jesus to walk in heaven on earth today. Of course, the local church in Christ cares about our country, cares about the affairs of others, has compassion for others. Of course, we care about racism. Of course, we care about injustice. Of course, we care about serving others. We are living in heaven on earth today. That's what's being described in Luke 24. Are we going to forget that? Sure. It's okay. Jesus is still reigning. Still his kingdom, and you're still in it. You're still in his grip. That's how good he is. Listen, if all you do is follow Jesus to the cross, you're never going to make it. The switch is never going to get flipped. The penny's never going to drop. The cross is amazing. The cross is glorious, but Jesus is alive. And in Luke 24, Jesus is pointing the disciples to verifiable evidence and inviting every one of us this morning to examine the evidence. You believe in science, 2019? Examine the evidence. It isn't just a fantastical story. Examine the evidence. You have in written form. Examine the reliability of those written documents. Examine the evidence. You can't dismiss it. Examine the transformation over thousands of years in the lives of other men and women. Examine that 2,000 years have gone by and people are still talking about Jesus today. Examine the weight on your own body. Did you know that the God of Scripture did not create you as a human being to carry the weight of the world? And outside of Jesus, you're carrying the weight. And we manifest physical wounds from carrying the weight. Like, how many of us are suffering from anxiety and fear and insomnia because the weight on our shoulders is so much? This morning, Jesus is speaking to you through his word and saying, examine the evidence. Life is hard. The weight is heavy. But I already got the wounds. He's already taken the wounds. You don't have to take the wounds. You just have to respond. Trust in him. Walk in his kingdom. You don't have to wait to heaven. It's today. You don't have to wait for power. It's today. You don't have to wait for life. It's today. This morning, I'm going to ask every one of us, I'm going to ask you to respond to that this morning. It's Easter. I'm going to ask you to bow your head. I just want you to bow your head this morning. I want you to think about was being presented to us in Luke 24. Just close your eyes. I know there's kids, there's people walking around, but in this moment, just consider the weight of the words that are being presented this morning. Jesus is inviting every one of us to live in his kingdom. I don't care what age you are. I don't care what ethnicity you are. I don't care if you have a church background. This is not about going to church. This is not about a list of things to do and not to do. This is about living in Jesus' kingdom today. It's about doing life in Jesus' kingdom today. This is about going to work and breathing and marriage and paying bills and taking naps and serving and driving in traffic and doing the dishes in Jesus' kingdom today. And he's inviting you to respond. We don't usually do this as a church family on Sunday mornings, but we just want to give you a chance to physically respond. And so if you're thinking about that invitation this morning to live in Jesus' kingdom today, I just want you to put your hand in the air. This isn't for me. You're not telling me. You're telling Jesus. This morning, if you want to tell Jesus, like, hey, I want to be your witness, Jesus. I want to find life in you, Jesus. I want to live in heaven on earth today. Would you just put your hand in the air right now? With every head bowed and every eye closed. You're taking a physical step to mark out this occasion. I don't want to live for 90 years. I don't want to live for the hope of a romantic relationship. I don't want to live for titles and awards that are so fleeting and so small. Jesus, I want to live in your kingdom. Jesus, I want you to take the burdens. You're raising your hand. You're just saying, Jesus, I'm tired of taking the burdens. I pick them up so quickly, so easily. It was never our burden to carry. There were never our wounds to suffer. It was his joy to endure the cross. It was his joy to lay down his life. Nobody forced him. He came to take those wounds so that we don't have to. Will you raise your hand this morning? Will you just hold it up high? Father in heaven, we thank you for this morning. I don't even know if hands are being lifted up this morning, but I know that you know. I know the men, women, and children in this room, they know. And you're inviting us to live in your kingdom on earth today. Would you help us do that? Would you help us receive this truth into our lives today? Would you help us acknowledge that we forget? That we forget that we're living in his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. That's why we need a local church family. That's why we need the body of Christ. That's why we need God's word. It's why we need the Holy Spirit to come in and indwell us as a promise that we belong to you. Well, I pray that 2019, that Easter, April 21st, 2019 would be marked out as a day that the men, women, and children of North Village Church physically responded to say, yes, I want to live in Jesus' kingdom on earth today. I want to walk in his kingdom. I want to find life in his kingdom. I don't want to wait. The tomb is empty. Help us to just be washed in that truth this morning. We trust you for it. We thank you for it. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.